With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello and welcome to the Raptors Over Everything podcast. We have Sports Canada. I'm your host, Wen Liu. Joining me to preview the upcoming 2020-2021 season with the Toronto Raptors playing out of Tampa are two of my best friends in this game. Asad.
Yo.
Sahal.
Yo.
All right, so look, the Raptors are in training camp right now. There's not a lot of news coming out. You know, maybe the most newsworthy thing is that they've decided to take Terrence Davis to training camp. And the NBA is still conducting their investigation, so we're going to see what it's going to look like from there. Quite honestly, it seems like the Raptors looked into it, and they're kind of just cool with it. So I don't know. I don't want to pass an early judgment. I've already said a lot about this, but you know, we'll hopefully they do the right thing based on what happens. But you, honestly, it's hard to expect that out of anyone nowadays, apparently. So anyway, let's just talk about the rest of the conference because there's not that much else going on. I've pulled up the Vegas insider over under win totals for the Eastern Conference, and we can just go over and under on these numbers. And so I don't know, Vegas insider is the go-to place. I don't really do sports betting, but I'm just gonna go off these. So the first one, Milwaukee Bucks 50.5 wins. This is obviously out of a 72 win season. To put that into perspective of like an 82 game season, that's about 57.5 wins. Yeah, I mean, what do you guys think? Over or under? Asad, let's start with you, man. The Bucks, are they getting to essentially, are they having another 60 win season?
Probably. The Bucks are a system team, and we've seen them roll the regular season. Normally, you're going to have a shortened season, less prep time for teams potentially. So I'd assume they would roll as along. Of course, Bud's going to do his. Who knows how the minutes restrictions are for Bud this year, right? Like maybe he's like, oh, I'm going to hold Giannis to 24 minutes a game, you know? Because you never know how it goes with him. But yeah, I'd expect the Bucks to be, I would say maybe over. I think they are. I want to say they're slightly weaker. I think there's enough competition in the East that maybe they end up at 49 wins, so they may be a bit under that. But again, like their division is complete garbage. So
right.
They're going to play the majority of games against the division. They're probably going to hit that over. I would say over.
Yeah, I'm going to say over as well. It's you said 50 and a half, right?
50.5, yep.
Yeah, I'm going to say over as well. Similar reasons to Asad. Giannis getting like a day to prepare for a guy like Giannis. And then obviously they added a guy like Drew Holiday this year, who's another borderline all-star guy. But I do agree with Saad when he said that. I think the team's at least a little bit weaker this year. I don't see them, in my opinion, they're not the finals favorite. I think we'll get into that later, but they're not the finals favorite in the East. So that's, I'm probably maybe going against consensus there. I think it's the Celtics, but I think it's going to be over. I think any team led by Giannis is probably guaranteed a 1-2 seed in both conferences. He has that LeBron factor to him. He's arguably the best player in the world right now. So, and then his supporting cast isn't terrible. I mean, the starting lineup's pretty good. And then the bench, I think, got a little bit weaker. And then they have, in my opinion, one of the bottom tier head coaches in the NBA. Mike Budenholzer, who looks like – no, I'm not even going to get into that.
Wow, all right.
No, I was going to go crazy right there. But, yeah, I'm gonna go over 50.5 pretty confidently. I think the Milwaukee Bucks will be over 50.5. I think probably 53, 54 wins.
I think the only thing that might temper it, and this is what I'm thinking. So I know that this season – in a normal season, teams would play 52 games against their own conference and then 30 games against the opposite conference. This year, I think it's still, you still play the 30 games against the opposite conference, but you only play 42 within your own conference. So the only thing that would temper it is you're playing less East teams and playing more West teams, and the Western teams are generally better. Whether that really matters when it comes to the Bucks, I don't know. I don't know how many teams in the West really have the ability to guard Giannis or scout for Giannis or deal with that. And you don't know how the travel work, right? Like, if more of those games are during one of Western Conference teams on a road trip, then it might probably be easier. So I think that might be the only thing that tempers it. But again, like, within their division, the Bucks play the Bulls, the Cavaliers, and the Pistons, and the Pacers. Yep. So
disgusting.
Like, it's not like the 10 games they're losing are going to be, like, against their division, which is already the crap of the East, right? So I think they're going to be over, if not just slightly.
No, man, that's a great point. I just pulled up their record against the Central Division last season. They were 13-1. Yo, that's not fair, man. That's not fair. I mean, 13-1 is just a disgusting record. I mean, honestly, the weird thing with Milwaukee, I feel like, is, like, first off, Mike Budenholzer is pretty good at getting his teams to win a lot of games the regular season. I think if he has one skill, aside from making very memeable faces, is like getting the most out of his team in the regular season. Honestly, if you look at the bench, here's the thing. They have functional pieces that, again, in the regular season format, they will do very well for you. Guys that are kind of more one-way players, but in the regular season, you can kind of, you know, mix and match your one-way players. Teams aren't going to adjust to you every night. They're not going to mismatch Hunt as much as they need to in the playoffs. So when you look at guys on the bench, right, obviously they're starters, Giannis, Middleton, Jrue Holiday, Brook Lopez, and then I'm slotting in Dante DiVincenzo, I guess. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. I think Brook Lopez is getting a little older. We'll see how much he holds up, but, you know, for the most part, he's just dropping back and collecting rebounds. He's fine. And shooting threes, he's not really, like, that physical nowadays. But then their bench, Torrey Craig, Bryn Forbes, DJ Augustine, Bobby Portis, Pat Connaughton, I would say, is probably their second unit. That's not bad. The thing is, those guys are all one-way players, if you look at it, because in a playoff series, I don't know how much you can play Torrey Craig because he doesn't really shoot that well. He defends well, though. That's good. Bryn Forbes shoots really well, does not defend at all. He's really small, so you're not going to be able to play him, really. DJ Augustine, I mean, he's DJ Augustine, and he's also quite small, so I don't know if you can play him. Bobby Portis, to be honest, he's kind of a TBD on both ends. And then Pat Connaughton, we saw in the last playoffs, he was not very good in the playoffs because he could not shoot. So it's one of those teams that, again, in classic Bud fashion, is going to look quite good in the regular season. But in the playoff setting, the amount of two-way players, I don't even know if they have five two-way players on the roster that they could put together as a functional unit, which is going to limit them in the playoffs in addition to the other issues that they have. But, I mean, Bud does pretty well with his regular season teams, and so I'm going to go over on 50.5 as well. Actually, a quick little fun over-under. Over-under Mike Budenholzer career winning percentage in the playoffs. Over-under 51%.
Definitely under. 100%.
Over.
Over?
Yeah.
He's at squarely in 64 playoff games, 32-32. And if you break that number down, he's actually only ever been above 500 in the playoffs one time. That was the 2018-19 season where he got swept. He was 3-4, 8-8, 4-6, 2-4, 10-5, and then 5-5. This man is a fraud.
This guy.
You know, when you get swept, like, what was it, 3 years in a row with the Hawks or whatever it was, like, like, he's the Dwayne Casey of coaches left in the Eastern, like, you know, contender tier. I definitely don't. I'm not, even if I agree that they're going to probably be the number one seed this year, I don't think they're the best team, best Eastern Conference team when it comes to the playoff time. Yeah. Also, just a fun little, like, over-under, how many seasons in the last, like, let's say seven, has Jrue Holiday played more than 65 games?
Has he played more than 65?
Yeah. How many times has he hit 65 games in the last, like, seven seasons, let's say?
I'm going to say four.
Yeah, I'm going to say, like, three.
Yeah, so he has hit, in the last seven seasons, he hit 61 below, 67 above, 81. He had a full 81-game season. Oh, 67 very nice. Above, 65 and 40. But 40 and 34. So after those early injury years, he's always missed at least 15 to 20 games a season. outside of that one season about 2 years ago with the Pelicans. So it should be fun to see how he works with the Bucks in a shortened season. Of course, Bud might play him a lot less, but do you really have room to play Jrue Holiday less at point guard if you have DJ Augustin as a backup? It's not like last year where they had both George Hill and Bledsoe, right? Which at the minimum give you at least a starter, a regular season starter quality point guard.
Yeah.
You're a little bit thin now, and Jrue Holiday has a bit of a spotty injury history. So it should be interesting how it works out for the Bucks injury-wise. They've also been, I think, fairly healthy amongst their like core guys the last couple of years. So
yeah. Well, I mean, it helps that Giannis is indestructible. And like Giannis alone is gonna win you like, I don't know, man. It doesn't really matter who you play with, to be honest. Like Giannis in a regular season setting, like no one's gonna be preparing for that the way they need to in a playoff thing. So, I mean, I think the three of us all have over for the Milwaukee Bucks. I think that's reasonable. The second one here, the Boston Celtics are second in terms of Vegas win totals at 46.5 games. Sahal, what are you saying for the Boston Celtics? That would be an 82-game season, a 53-win season.
I'm gonna go over. And I think Boston's regular season, if I didn't say it before, their regular season I think is going to translate – a lot better, like we said, than Milwaukee's will to the playoffs. That team's just built for the playoffs. You look at their roster up and down. They had young guys playing against the Raptors in the bubble that looked like they were seasoned veterans.
Yeah.
They lost Gordon Hayward, who for them was a good half-court offense initiator, a guy who can take some of the playmaking off of Jason Tatum, off of Kemba Walker. They did lose to him, and we can't act like, as much as I'm assuming a lot of people feel like Gordon Hayward was paid too much by Charlotte. He's a good player. He's a really good basketball player. So Boston lost him. But I mean, Jason Tatum probably still has another couple levels he could reach in terms of where he is in his superstardom. Jaylen Brown, I think, is not at his ceiling yet. I think he's very close, much closer than we think. But I think Kemba Walker is still an all-star. I think Boston has probably the clearest path to an NBA championship from the East, at least making it there. So I'm going to say over pretty confidently. I like them the best in their division, and I honestly won't be surprised if they take the conference as a whole. I think Milwaukee, like we said, their bench is just filled with guys that it just doesn't really make sense. I mean, Torrey Craig's a good player, like you said, and DJ Augustin is – these are all solid role players. I don't even call them good, but Boston, I think that's a six-game series, in my opinion, if Boston meets up with Milwaukee. So I'm going to say Boston pretty confidently with that over in the regular season.
I'm going to go the other way because I think it's almost spot on. I'll go slightly under. So here's what I'll say. One, Kemba's injured to start the season. You already know it.
Yeah.
He's dealing with knee stuff. They say he's not even going to be ready for the start of the season. So you're going to miss him at the front. Last season, they could deal with Kemba being injured because they had Gordon Hayward to, assist with that point guard duties. They don't have a point guard on that team. As much as you like Jason Tatum or Jaylen Brown, neither of them are natural half-court playmakers for others. Even if they improve that, you're just not going to see that stark of a difference. You even see with the Clippers, they try to use Kawhi as their main point guard. It doesn't really work out in the half court, and I don't think the Celtics are as talented on the wings as the Clippers would be. Also, just looking at last season, the Celtics won in a 72-game season. We just had one. The Celtics won 48 games. So 46.5, I think if you take out Hayward and you lose Kemba for a part of that, especially given that the division has improved, like the Nets have improved, the Sixers have improved, the Raptors have stayed steady. Like you're going to expect there to be a bit more battle within the division games. And again, that these are the teams that are going to lose out on playing those extra games against the crappy teams in the East, right? Because they're not in the same division as them. So like, I think all these teams are going to lose a couple wins there. I think they're going to be under, I would have them slaughter around 45, 46 wins in terms of a playoff prediction for them. I don't agree with you at all. I think, for the Bucks, they don't. I don't think they have the half court playmaking to deal with the Bucks defense. Like they have shot creation one on one, but even then, I think it looks flashy. But we saw their half court offense stunk against the Raptors, flat out just stunk. So I don't think they are. I think they are. There's again, it's just the East in the playoffs is going to come down to matchups. So which team gets the best set of matchups to get there? And also depends on Kemba Walker's knee, because if Kemba Walker's not good to go, they lose an offensive creator, even if they get the defense back. So I don't know if the Celtics, I would still have a question mark moving forward.
Yeah, I think I'm with you. I think I'm slightly under on them as well, mostly because of the Kemba thing. They did pick up Jeff Teague, which is cool, I guess. I mean, I would say Jeff Teague is kind of very average at this point. Lowest of keys, I kind of like their rookie Peyton Pritchard. I've been watching
I'm a huge fan.
Have you seen these open runs? This guy,
he's a baller.
I was going to say, yeah, he doesn't jump. He doesn't, but he's just like really smooth.
Yeah.
He's got like a buzz.
This is what we were saying about that little tiny guy they drafted last year that was chucking threes from 40 feet.
Yeah.
And did nothing. He was the steal of the draft. The Celtics are great at winning Twitter with their draft picks, but let's see how they actually turn out.
Well, I mean, it's because I think people are excited about Peyton, not only because of the skill set, but because he looks like he's from Boston. I don't know, man. It looks like, you know, like when it gets like below 5 degrees Celsius outside and their cheeks get really rosy. Like he has that permanently.
I think it will be interesting just looking at rookies this year. I feel like the rookies that are the older rookies are going to be the ones that are going to perform a lot better this season. The fresher rookies are going to come in. They're not going to – well, they might
have – There's no summer camp.
So, like, learning all the plays, getting up to speed with NBA defense, there's going to be no practice in between games at all. So it's going to be really hard to develop on the fly. Mm-hmm. So it's really just going to be, like, you might see flashes of talent. But in terms of, like, having, like, playoff-ready guys, I highly doubt any of these rookies are going to be ready to go. And, again, like, you know, these are a lot of rookies coming to a lot of money. And you don't have bubble-like restrictions on them. So you know, you got a bunch of young guys who are just getting money for the first time. You might see some Otto Porter Jr. partying happening on, right? So
what was he doing? By the way, what was Otto Porter's outfit, man? Why was this man just dressed like this guy was dressed like Chris Tucker in Rush Hour 2, man.
In Rush Hour?
This man was buying cheap suits, man. This guy got swindled into buying a cheap suit and a live chicken.
Otto Porter does not know what to do with that $25 million salary. He hasn't known what to do with that salary for the last 4 or 5 years.
Yo, by the way, for people who haven't seen the video, there's a video that apparently Otto Porter was partying around Halloween. Obviously, COVID cases, especially in Chicago, are quite high. No masks, nothing like that. Obviously a house party kind of thing. And he was pouring drinks into people's mouths and kind of like whatever, right? Which is pretty nasty in this current age, because he wasn't waterfalling it. Like, it was on the lips. The nastiest part was Otto Porter makes, like, I don't know, 25 mil a year, and he was drinking Costco Kirkland brand. It was like it said Kirkland on the bottle. So I don't know what this man was doing. I mean, at least if you're gonna jeopardize people's lives, like, at least buy them some like nice champagne or something like that, man. Come on, this guy was out here giving them sparkling juice.
You gotta buy local, right?
This guy was pouring Compliments brand sparkling juice into people's mouths.
Oh, for real, man. This guy's walking around with a Tropicana. Tropicana jug.
Oh, God.
All right, so you know what? So Hall's got the over on the Celtics. Me and Asad are haters. We're going to go slightly under on the Celtics. To be honest, they're going to be a good team. There's no doubt. I think Tristan Thompson actually is kind of nice, especially if they play
Yeah,
like if they play the Heat again, like they're going to have Tristan out there securing defensive rebounds. I think that's a big issue for them. I think their scoring is really going to be a little bit tough, especially if Kemba's not elite. And I think Kemba's gotten a little bit old. I mean, they low-key try to trade Kemba already. So, I mean, Kemba has a little bit of that Lou Williams problem when he goes to the playoffs, which is kind of, I mean, it's part of the reason why they haven't gone farther than they did last year, but still quite good team. The next one on the list, Brooklyn Nets at 45.5 wins. So just one below the Celtics here. That's a 52 win season. Asad, we'll start with you. I have no idea what to make of the Brooklyn Nets.
I'm smashing the under on that hard.
You're smashing the under. Okay.
Are you kidding me? 45. Okay. Like, that's saying, like, okay, the Nets, their best player, Kevin Durant, coming off an Achilles tear. Okay. Mm. Like, I don't care how much training prep you have. We have literally never seen a player come off an Achilles tear other than Dominique Wilkins to actually have a good season the year after. Like, that guy is just not going to be in game shape. Even if he's in game shape, he's going to be in game shape enough to play four games a week. That's absolutely ridiculous. If anything, they're going to be load managing him. The Nets' entire ethos has been, we're going to take as much time as possible to bring these guys back. Kyrie Irving just got injured at the end of last season, and he's coming off a couple of injuries. So, like, your two best players are coming off of major injuries or coming off of injuries and need to be managed. Kyrie hasn't played a full season in, like, what, 3 years? Like, he's been consistently injured. So how are they going to have enough games with their top talent to win when the rest of their team, they lack talent? Like, Caris LeVert is the guy. Caris LeVert's also been injured basically his entire career. So, and also the question comes, like, who's playing defense on that team? They have Jacques Vaughn as, like, a leftover from last year, so maybe their defensive scheme stays the same, but they're going to be integrating a whole new offense. Most likely their defense is going to change just because they have new pieces there. 45 wins is ridiculous for that team, because there is no way, if they're playing against the Celtics, the Raptors, and the Sixers, who at the minimum at least have a core that have played together for multiple years, you're not going to win that just off of talent alone in the regular season, because those teams have too much built-in knowledge going forward. I'm definitely smashing the under on that. Good Lord.
Damn. This guy said definitely. You said it translates to a 52-win season?
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, man. That's so hard, because it's like Durant is Durant, but he's not Durant. And, like, I want – there's no way, like, I'm thinking a Durant and Kyrie-led team are going to be less than 52 wins.
I mean, especially KD, man. KD has never really been on losing teams.
That's what I'm saying.
KD hasn't played 5-on-5 basketball in over 2 years. It's been 2 years and 3 months since the last time he was on an NBA court.
That could oddly be an argument for him being good, is that, like, the fact that he's had extra time to recover. You know what I mean?
No, man, because an Achilles injury is, like, it's not like, like, that injury happens, you recover. But then, like, the rehab is entirely, like, you've got to, like, get that tendon back into, like, actual, like, worn in. So, like, it's stretching. Because the biggest problem with Achilles is that, like, and Kobe would say this, and DeMarcus Cousins had the same issue, where your first stint is fine. That first 8 minutes you play, it's fine. Everything's loose. But then you sit down, it tightens up so quickly after surgery, and it's really hard to stay loose afterwards. So, like, if he hasn't been playing 5-on-5 ball for that long, like NBA-level 5-on-5 ball, and he's just throwing him out there, there's no way in hell that they're playing enough games to get to 46. Like, if this was a regular 82-game season, you would say 10 games – Kyrie and KD aren't playing anyways because they're getting load managed, right?
Yeah.
So they're only playing 72 games anyways. And then if they were only playing 72 games, they'd win maybe 48 of those in a regular season, right? So, like if you're winning 48 out of the 72 games they play with load managing, take out the load managing, you're going to drop them to like 42 maybe, 40 to 42. I see them having like a 40 and 32 record. That seems normal to me if – if you were to 40, look at it.
40 and 32
is a reasonable record if you're missing games, right?
Yeah, but we're acting like Dinwiddie and these guys aren't still on their team. Like, Dinwiddie's
we watched him get washed by Fred VanVleet.
Okay, yo, bro.
Loki Dinwiddie wasn't even there, bro. We were watching Chris. We were watching Chris Chioza.
Come on, bro. That's like literally the Fred VanVleet lab experiment gone wrong. Like,
their pick and roll defense. Their pick and roll defense is DeAndre Jordan. Like, you want me to believe in this team? They're gonna get washed by literally everybody in the East.
Okay, thanks, Asad.
They're at the bottom of the six teams.
Okay, wow. I've been talking for so long, I forgot what the over-under was.
45.5, so a 52-win season.
I'm taking the over, literally, just so we can revisit this, and I can tell Asad how stupid he is for betting against Kevin Durant, even a load-managed Kevin Durant. Mm. Yeah, I mean, Asad's right, though. Like, they
got real issues.
The way it's built is very strange. Like, there's no plus, almost no plus defenders on that team. I mean, even Torian Prince, who you probably look at as maybe the best defender on that team, is like,
I mean, it's supposed to be KD, but like KD off an Achilles, like,
how much? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it's like, and then you look at Torian Prince, and it's like, this guy is literally Pascal Siakam's son. So I don't know. I feel like I'm going to say over for the simple fact that they have very, very good depth players. And I think some of their starters from last year are just getting bumped down. Joe Harris, I think, is a really, really good fit. You need a shooter if you're going to have KD and Durant on the floor. But even if both are load managed, I don't think Kyrie's going to get load managed all that much. I think you're going to see Kevin Durant severely load managed. He's probably going to maybe miss 20%, 30% of games. We'll see. But I think Kyrie's going to have a breakout year this year. I think he's been talking about it himself, about how he feels more and more like himself. He is, again, coming off an injury. But I think this is the year where we look at Kyrie again. We're like, oh, it's this guy. He's back. And then LeVert, I think, has been a budding, I don't want to say star for quite some time, but he's been a pretty good player. I mean, he was essentially put the Nets on his back in the bubble in that first round. They got smacked in the first round.
Oh, but, yeah, definitely.
LeVert's a good player. Dinwiddie's a good player. DeAndre Jordan's not a terrible – I think he's more of like a backup five at this point, but they're probably going to start him. I'm looking at the rest of the roster. Justin Anderson, eh. They traded for Landry Shamet. Yep. I guess you could get him some minutes. Luau Cabral's still there.
He was solid. He was solid.
Yeah, and he was solid too. So I'm going to take the over, but it's not going to be a crazy, you know, oh, I think they're going to get 50 wins. I think it's just going to be just above, maybe 46, 47. I'm not betting against Durant, man. I'm not doing it.
Here's the thing. If you were actually listening to this or betting advice, which I don't know why you would be, but if you were, don't bet on the Brooklyn Nets because there's just like too much variability here. So I think, honestly, what both of you are saying is very valid. For me, I have a lot of questions about this team because it kind of reminds me of like the championship Raptors team. Obviously, you have like the superstar guy, Kawhi, in this case, KD, probably going to be missing games, maybe not be playing all out for the regular season. That's going to be tough. What's going to have to happen if you're going to have your superstar do that is you need to have an established identity with a core group of guys that can go out there and deliver and perform even without your stars and be adaptable and flexible. In order to be adaptable and flexible, you need an actual established core identity, which the Nets don't have because they had a team and then KD and Kyrie came and they blew up the whole team. They don't really have a coaching staff, really. I mean, I believe in Steve Nash just because I like Steve and he was like one of my favorite players ever. But I mean, like, we're talking about a rookie head coach with a weird little coaching staff that they got going on. And so I'm not really sure where that stability is going to come from. And then the other question is just like defense, man. Like, you know, I just don't know how many of these guys are defensively oriented, as a whole set. So, I mean, it's tough.
Yeah.
Jared Allen's in a contract year. You know, like DeAndre.
You have to have a top five defense.
You do. That's for sure. Yeah.
You can't. All the top five, like almost all the top five defenses sit in the East. So, like, if you're going to try to get through the East, you better have a defense or you have to be otherworldly offensively. Which maybe they can.
They can be, though. They can be. But there's also not enough of the ball to go around. Because you look at on paper, you're like, all right, LeVert, Dinwiddie. Wow, Dinwiddie's like their fourth ball handler. That's pretty good. Like, you know, we run Pat McCaw out there all the time. Like, Dinwiddie's never going to have the ball, man. Like, it's just like KD and Kyrie's going to have the ball like 50, 60% of the time. LeVert's going to have it a little bit. I mean, like, the rest of these guys aren't even going to touch the ball. So, I mean, Jeff Green might come into the game and check out of the game without ever touching the ball, man, unless it's a rebound. Like,
yeah, man, I think that team is literally perfectly built to be a team that makes a massive trade in the middle of the season.
Yeah.
Bradley Beal, something's going to happen with that team where it, like we just said, it just doesn't fit. It just doesn't look right when you look at their roster. Maybe you get a guy like Bradley Beal midseason, but.
Yo, Draymond will be a killer on this team.
Draymond would look good on this team, yeah.
Yeah.
Like he'd make Joe Harris look damn good. Like, we know Joe Harris is one of the best shooters in the league, but, like, that's almost exactly what they need. Damn, I didn't think about that. Draymond to the Nets, yeah.
Yo, and trade Jared Allen, too, because I feel like, okay, because it's – Jared Allen's now entering contract here. He's played really well, but you're going to be essentially telling him, like, yo, KD's friends with DeAndre, so you're going to have to come off the bench. Like, that's a situation where a player gets traded. Like, a LeVert might get moved, too, but – Here's I mean, that's
unless they have a five, unless like they're playing KD at the five as their closing lineup, which they could do. I don't know how healthy KD is to do that. You can't not have a five man. And the fact of the matter is, DeAndre Jordan is not your five man if you want to play defense at any point, right? You can't even use them on offense, to be honest. You're not even a good enough offensive threat to actually matter in your best.
Why did they get him? I don't, I to this day, I don't
want friends, yo. It's all vibes team, man.
Like, yeah, man.
That's why I don't trust this team at all. Yo.
Yeah, there's no trust on this team. Today, he's like, oh, well, Mike D'Antoni's going to handle the offense and Jacques Vaughn's going to handle the defense. And I'm just, like, you know,
like, Steve's got a great job, man. Yo, like, if I just came to work and I was like, all right, someone's going to do the writing for me. Someone's going to do the podcasting for me, man. Someone's going to do the marketing for me.
Well, you have both of us on the pod today, so.
Oh, wow. Well, come on, guys. This group chat is the source of at least two things per game out of the 10 things. So, for me, I'm going to go slightly under. So I'm going to keep my card right now is the same as Assad's, but I would say very, very close to this number. I think it kind of evens out. Next team, Miami Heat, 44.5. That's a 50.5 win season. I mean, I don't know. I mean, it seems solid. I would say, obviously, Miami's coming off that finals appearance, and it looked quite good. And you might say, well, of course, they went to the finals. They should be even higher. It's weird. I don't want to slander my guy Eric Spoelstra like this, but without LeBron on his team, this guy has not won 50 games in a season. It's actually kind of amazing.
Yeah. Miami. You know what's crazy about Miami is that you look at their team. Obviously, the team starts and ends with Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler has played a lot in the last, what, eight years, 10 years? He's played a lot in terms of his minute total. Mm. I thought this would be the year we kind of see Jimmy go through, like, injury problems. He went through the bubble. He was maybe the most overused player in the bubble, but it worked for them. I mean, they made the finals. As sad as this sounds, I think this is the year where Jimmy's body starts to break down a bit. You never want to, like, predict that for a player, but just looking at his past, how much he played in Chicago, Thibodeau literally tried to kill the guy. And then he went to Philly, played a lot there while he was there for his short stint. And then now he's in Miami. And I think with that team, it's like when they lose a guy like that, of course I'm talking hypothetical, but when you lose a guy like that, it's like that's the heart and soul of their team. But again, that roster is like from top to bottom is really, really solid. They got Myers Leonard back. They lost a guy like Derek Jones, but it's like, who really cares, to be honest? They got Avery Bradley and Mo Harkless, which is, I think, are really, really good additions to that team. They kind of fit the culture there as well. Just long defending, you know, like guys that'll just get in your face. And then they kept like their core guys, Jimmy Butler, Tyler Herro, Duncan Robinson, Bam. I'm going to say over. I just really love the team chemistry on that team, man. I love the way they play together. Mm-hmm. I think the only thing that would keep them from not going over is an injury to like a guy like Jimmy Butler or maybe Bam or something like that, where they just can't recover. But yeah, I'm going to say over. From what I saw in the bubble, man, that team has a, if we're talking identities, like clear-cut identities, like for that we said Brooklyn lacked, I think Miami's a perfect example of a team that maybe they don't match up with you talent-wise, but they know what the hell they're doing offensively and defensively. So I'm going to say over for Miami. Yeah, I'm going to say over.
Yeah, I agree with Sahal. I think it's a push. I think that's basically like 44 or 45 is where I'd have them at. They won 44 games, I think, this year. But they end up at 44 and whatever was their record in 72 games. They had a hot streak this regular season as well. Mm-hmm. But I do think, like, looking at the regular season, the way it's going to be, Miami's probably the best setup for it. Like, you want a team that's professional where your guys are going to be in shape. Like, you don't know how this COVID season is going to go. You don't know how people are coming off of. Like, a lot of these teams, like, they haven't played basketball in, like, 8 months, right? So a team like Miami that, you know, played recently, you know all the guys are going to be in shape. There's, like, a strong, you know, accountability up and down the roster. They're probably better set to win regular season games than most. So I think it's probably a push. Again, my reasons for why they wouldn't be over would be the same. Like, you don't know about injury concerns and stuff like that. Also, like, Bam Adebayo, how much better does he become? Like, if he grows, they could jump up. Jimmy Butler, if his foul rate declines even a little bit, maybe, you know, a little bit of decline with Jimmy Butler loses a lot of their offense, right? Goran Dragic is coming off of a plantar fascia injury. You don't know how he's going to recover as well off of that, since he could barely move in the finals. So,
yeah,
we'll see how things go. I think it's more or less even for me, though, for Miami.
Yeah, I like the number here, too. I'm also going to go over. So this is actually the only team. No, we all went over for the Bucks, too. Yeah, I mean, I think the team's really solid. The only slight concern I have is, like, they're low-key old. And it's weird to think about, because you're like, all right, they got Duncan Robinson, they got Bam, they got Tyler Herro. Even if you want to count Kendrick Nunn, all right, then, like, you know, those are younger guys that you would think this is a team on the rise. But really, like, when you look at a lot of these rotation players, whether it's Jimmy Butler, whether it's Andre Iguodala, whether it's Goran Dragic, you know, they brought in Avery Bradley as well. I think is Kelly Olynyk getting up there in age too? Like, there's a lot of 30-year-olds on this team that are in the rotation. Kelly's, so he's turning 30 in the middle of the season as well.
Yeah, like, I was about to say, I think he's 29. Yeah,
Yeah, so he's like, it's a low-key, a little bit of an older roster, but I think the continuity here is quite good. The roster, they have a clear identity. That's going to be huge because you're not going to have training camp. You're going to have people in and out of your lineup all year, you know, probably due to multiple reasons. And what's going to carry you through is, do you have an identity? Like the Heat, for example, is like almost entirely different than what the Nets are. Because the Nets is like, I don't know what's going on. I don't know who's coaching. I don't know what's going on, who's playing, who likes who, anything like that. The Heat have a clear culture. They have a clear identity. And in a season like this, plus also they're playing in a crappy conference, the Southeast. Like they're just going to get so many easy wins from that. So we all got them for over. The Sixers are also at 44.5. So the same number as the Heat. I think a lot of people are getting really excited about the fact that they have two shooters without thinking about the fact that those two shooters are Seth Curry and Danny Green. But Asad, I'll ask you, man. Are they over? Are they under? What's going on? Daryl Morey?
I think the Sixers. I think they're even as well. Like that's a good number for them. Like they won 43 games last year and they didn't even fit in 72, right? So like So like you're talking about, as long as Joel stays healthy, it is a big ask, I think, for Joel to be playing four games a week and heavy minutes. I don't know who his backup is there anymore, but
Dwight Howard, baby.
Dwight Howard. So you know, maybe I think 44 is a good number for them. I would say just under by 0.5 because I think they're going to continue having their fit issues. Again, they have shooting, but not that much shooting. Where like if any of those guys have a cold shooting night, they're done for, right? Like Danny Green has a classic cold shooting night, their entire offense kind of falls apart, right? So, but I do think their additions are good. I don't know what Doc Rivers' coaching philosophy is, but he can get a good regular season win team out of it.
He says he wants to run a lot of pick and roll with Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid,
which should be interesting. Again, like
I don't think that works. I mean,
I think the Sixers have been known for the last like 4 years to basically never have a closing roster similar to their starting roster at all, because they always make moves. So this is a team that's always in flux. I don't know how much Daryl Morey changes that, because Daryl Morey's constantly going to be looking for trades. I'll say under just because there's a lot of questions there. But I do think in terms of power rankings, like they're like, that's a team where if they can get things to actually work correctly, they would be like in the top half of those six teams in terms of like playoff potential. But again, it's getting there because their defense should be solid, I think, regardless. I think defensively they're a solid unit and they can get there. And all they need is a point guard, which I don't think they really have right now. But yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to go under as well, but I'm going to preface that with saying I love their offseason additions. Daryl Morey leading that team is obviously a plus.
I don't like
it. I don't know about Doc Rivers as a head coach. Like he's good. I mean, he's probably consensus. People would agree he's like a top six, top five head coach in the league. But it's like I feel like the beginning of the year is going to be spent on Doc Rivers figuring them out. Like we keep coming back to the same point where it's like there's a limited amount of time for these teams that were just built for them to figure out what their identity is. And I feel like Doc Rivers is going to do a lot of experimenting early on, and that's going to mean losses to like pretty bad teams, I think. But I do think, with that being said, they're going to start figuring it out late in the season, or maybe even mid-season, and then they're just going to start going on a roll. Talent-wise, that team doesn't really have much to worry about. They're in the upper echelon, I want to say, of talent. I like the Seth Curry addition. I like Seth Curry a lot, man. Like, that guy is just a pure initiator of offense and can shoot the lights out from outside. But I am going to say under, but I wish you could just say even, because I really think it's going to be just around that number, either just slightly under by a win or just slightly over by a win. But yeah, I'm going to say under for now. But damn, I know I'm going to come back to this and just be like, shit, what were you thinking? I'm going to say under.
The thing with the Sixers, I will say, though, is they were a horrible road team last year. So given like whatever the split is this year, like if they don't improve on the road, like they were 12-26 on the road last year, which is just like
horrible
for a team that you think, because they're 31-4 at home. So, you know, without having the home crowd even for the home games, I don't know how much that affects their team and their psyche, because it seems like their best players kind of go with the home and the road stuff. But we'll see how that goes with them. But yeah, that's the only other thing. There's more movement, right, this year. So
Yeah, I mostly agree with everything you guys said. I'm going to go slightly over only because Embiid played only 51 games last year. Obviously, Embiid's an injury-prone kind of guy. But, like, 51 out of, what, 73 that they played last year, I think he can play a little bit more than that. And if Embiid plays, the Sixers are going to be pretty competitive. He's just that good. I think the fit is probably a little bit better. I still think they need other pieces, but I do trust Daryl Morey to make moves. Maybe not always make the right ones, but this man's always going to be tinkering. So he's going to make a bit of a move. I think maybe in a midseason trade, get a point guard kind of thing. But for now, I think they're actually decently solid as a team. So I'm going to go slightly over, but not by too much.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
We finally arrived at the Toronto Raptors. So Vegas has the Raptors at 41.5 wins. That is a 47 win season for the Raptors. By the way, let me just remind everybody, it's a 72 game season. The Raptors played obviously a 72 game season this fall, previous year. They were at 53 wins. So they dropped the Raptors from 53 wins to 41.5. I think they think we lost prime Serge Ibaka and prime Marc Gasol because you're slashing 11.
What is going on?
12 wins, not, man.
This isn't defensive player of the year Gasol we lost.
This is how you have to do it, right? When you have the Nets at 46 wins, this is where they make it up. And this is why I was low on the Nets, because I'm like, the Nets have to play the Celtics, the Sixers, and the Raptors. And like, none of those teams are gonna be bad enough to lose to, you know, a team with a half-ass defense. And like, again, the Raptors, you're dropping them 12 games for losing Gasol, who played half their regular season games and only played like, what, 15 minutes a game in those? Half of them, he didn't have a hamstring. And like the amount of injuries that were there last year. If the Raptors have as bad injury luck as they did last season, then maybe you can talk me into 41 games somehow. But even then, it makes zero sense to me. Like, for that to happen, Kyle Lowry would have to fall off like a literal cliff. Yeah. Like, someone would have to, I don't know if there are cliffs in Tampa, but someone would have to actually push him off a cliff while playing golf. Like, I think 41 is ridiculous. I think the Raptors are going to be closer to maybe 45 to 46, 47 wins is where I have them pegged. I have them, like, when it comes to ranking the quality of the teams in the East, I would say the Bucks, like, for the regular season, I'd put the Bucks first. And then it's like a mismatch of Raptors, Celtics, Heat, Sixers, right? Those four teams in any order, I think I have the Heat at the lowest there for the regular season, just because, again, I don't really know, like, their talent isn't as overwhelming there. And then the Celtics are perpetual underachievers, so I never really think of them too highly. The Raptors have been perpetual overachievers, and they're bringing the same core back again, which means their defense, like, even if you have questions about their five men on the defense, 1 through 4 is the exact same dudes who were playing the exact same hellish defense last year. There's no way to game plan for the Raptors. And if you have a shortened season, I think they're just going to dominate in that as well. And the Raptors were even home and away. So I don't think playing in Tampa is going to affect them as much as people think. If anything, it might help them lock in a bit more. But yeah, 100% over.
Yeah, man. I'm going over as well. And this is a clear over for me for every single reason Assad pointed out. And then on top of that, we're not expecting, like, we're not saying this is an over because Fred VanVleet's going to, you know, average 25 points. Like, this isn't a ridiculous Siakam's going to become a first-team All-NBA. No, like, they don't even need to be that. I mean, like, we go back to the same point. Teams with identities. The Raptors have a clear-cut identity. Yep. Losing Gasol, obviously, it's a guy they maybe wanted to bring back. Like, they met with him. Mm-hmm. They wanted him back at a certain number. He didn't want to come back. But again, Marc Gasol is not if we're talking about importance, and you're looking at that whole Raptors roster, Marcus Gasol is relatively not as important as the other guys who are getting major minutes. And then Ibaka, I think, is a bigger loss, of course. But again, the guys that fuel this team, the guy I should say, is Kyle Lowry. Mm-hmm. And then you have him surrounded by the same guys, Fred VanVleet. You know, we'll see what happens with obviously Terrence Davis in terms of his legal situation. But you have Pascal Siakam. They brought in Alex Len. They brought in Aaron Baines, who I'm a big fan of. Like, this guy's an older guy.
No, but he really is like a Southern Hemisphere Marcus Gasol, man.
Yeah.
Like, without the passing, but like, he could score better. And defensively,
it's better. Yeah. And he's a solid rim protector for a guy that looks like a smaller guy. I think he's 6'10, but like, this isn't a 7'2 guy who's protecting the rim and just putting his arms up. Like, this is a guy who fights every single play. I like the identity that he has as his own player, like how he fits into the Raptors. Solid pick and roll guy. I mean, this isn't the worst. This is probably the best option the Raptors could have gotten in terms of a big man at that stage of free agency. So that would keep them competitive. I mean, we were all kind of panicking who's going to be their starting five, who's going to be their starting five. I guess Baines is like the short-term answer for that. Masai is very similar to Daryl Morey and just the other elite general managers and presidents where he's always, like you said, tinkering with his roster and always going to try and find a competitive advantage. So we'll see what Masai does, but I'm going to say this is like the easiest over. Easiest over, man. Come on. What was it? 41 and a half? 42? 41
and a half. And like, 41 honestly, and a half, man. A lot of this comes to like, people have this image of Pascal in the bubble. And
that too.
It's like, it's ridiculous because people forget, like, if you look at the league, there are maybe 7 or 8 teams total that can guard Pascal Siakam one-on-one. Yeah. If you can't guard Pascal Siakam one-on-one, the Raptors are going to shred you because then you can't stop them in the half court or the full court. There's only like 7 teams that actually have defenders for him one-on-one to stop him. So 23 teams are going to get the work from Pascal. Anytime Pascal scored over 20 points, the Raptors won last year. I think we only lost one game where he scored over 20 last season. That was against the Celtics where he had a 30 piece and nobody else scored. And that was like a tight one. So like, I don't see where this, like, the losses are going to come for the Raptors to be that low.
Yeah. Look, I love Serge and Mark, you know, you said a lot of nice things about them on this pod, but like, were they what, the fifth and sixth best players on the team? Like, depends. Like, do you think OG was better than Serge last year?
100%.
Yeah. Man.
So they're obviously Fred and Kyle and Pascal. So we're talking about the fourth and fifth players here. I would say Mark was amply replaced by Baines. So you're losing your fifth best player in Ibaka and from last season. And okay, this is where I get a little absurd. All right. You know, listen, Chris Boucher, I know we've had our differences. You know, I've made some rude remarks. It's, you know, I own that, but I will put on the Chris Boucher propaganda right here. All right. Chris Boucher last season in 11 games where he played over 20 minutes, the Raptors went, they went 9-2. So that's quite good. And he averaged in those 11 games where he played over 20 minutes, he averaged 17 points per game. All right. 8.4 rebounds. He shot 53% from the field, 44% from three. All right. We know the three is maybe not consistent. Got to the free throw line a fair bit, 4.7 attempts per game. He hit those, you know, roughly 70%. Got you a steal, got you 2 blocks. And again, the Raptors won those games. Now, of course, Nick was using Chris a lot more selectively last season as he could as compared to this year, but I'm just saying, and that's not bad, and it's really a question of how much Boucher falls off from what Serge would have given you. Serge is the better player, definitely. I'm not trying to say this is like some sort of like improvement or even an even kind of thing, but bro, like, Boucher played some pretty important games, man. I mean, like, Clippers, Lakers are on this list, Celtics are on this list, Milwaukee's on this list, Denver's on this list. You know, Philly's on this list. Like,
he had the closing dunk against Dallas. He was part of that 30 comeback. Yeah. He was the core in that lineup. He was the center back basically on that. He's the free safety on defense. So, and the thing with Chris is like, you don't even have to replace his Serge's production with just Chris Boucher. Really, what you're going to do is you're going to move those touches around. Now, Serge's touches are going to become increased usage for OG, which is a positive thing.
Yes.
Increased usage for Norm, Pascal, Fred, even Kyle maybe can use some of those, or whoever those touches go to, like people who are underutilized for. And also, like, as long as Kyle Lowry, again, as long as Kyle Lowry's Kyle Lowry, it doesn't matter. As long as you don't, the big doesn't have to think. Your big man just has to be able to shoot it or dunk it. Kyle Lowry's going to put the ball in the right spot. So it doesn't really matter as long as Kyle's Kyle. And again, if Kyle's not Kyle, then all this doesn't even matter. So
yeah, that was my whole thing. It's like when you have a point guard like Kyle Lowry, this man got Bismack Young, a 4-year, $72 million contract. Yep. Like that, when we talk about things Kyle Lowry has accomplished in his career, we talk about the gold medal, we talk about the NBA championship, we talk about six-time All-Star. Or is it six or seven? Six-time All-Star, I think.
He's seven now.
Oh, seven now?
Yeah.
Bro, Bismack, getting Bismack Biyombo that money. And I don't, listen, Bismack Biyombo, you played great in Toronto. You had a great playoff run, one of the better players in the playoffs.
Bro, when this man was blocking Josh McRoberts, come on, man.
Yo, he gave us memories, Bismack.
That's the big money that Kyle got somebody. But think about the real money Kyle got somebody was Rondae Hollis-Jefferson got a deal this year.
Yo, relax, bro.
Kyle was able to make him a pick-and-roll ball handler in at least three plays this season.
You're hating. I'm a Rondae fan, man. Bro,
Rondae effectively was running pick-and-roll as a ball handler because Kyle Lowry was setting screens in the middle of the paint.
Yo, bro, the paint was so congested, man. Yo, the paint was like a middle school dance, bro. Like, when Sean Paul came on, that's how Rondae...
Yo, but to be honest, though, guys, Chris Boucher, I like him. I feel like there was kind of mixed feelings when it was announced the Raptors re-signed him. I don't know if it was the money thing. I mean, what was it, $6.5 million he's getting a year, or $6.75 million? I mean, it is what it is. Like, Chris Boucher has proven to be a guy that, as a rotational player, can play really well in big games. Like we said, like that Lakers game is the first one that came to my mind. Like, this guy took over the game completely.
Yeah.
So, I mean, oh man, it's every year, man, the Raptors are so disrespected with these Vegas, these over unders and all this stuff. But I mean, it is what it is, man. At this point,
and not to be too propaganda, but okay, Chris Boucher, you can't trust him to bring it every night. Well, that's why you have Alex Len, who's basically
we've gone too far, bro.
No, but if you look at Alex Len's career stats, like, he's putting up 20 minutes and he's basically been giving you Chris Boucher like numbers, right? Where if he's going, he's great. And if he's not, he's not. So you got two guys who have like a 50-50 shot of being on that night. And I think that's kind of the bet, right? If you can get Aaron Baines for like 50 of the 72 games of consistency, and then you kind of roll with Len and Boucher. And then, you know, you're hoping for the best. Most likely you're going to get, you know, a lot of good Pascal, Fred, and OG games where you don't even have to worry about that crap. So,
yeah, I mean, no, this is easy money. Bet the Raptors, man. Bet the over on the Raptors. 41.5. I mean, that's hilarious. We can kind of go a little bit quicker through the rest of this list because the rest of these teams are not relevant. The Indiana Pacers, 39.5. So that's a 45-win season for Nate Bjorkgren. Are you guys excited for Nate? I honestly already hear some good things because Indiana was already saying that, like, look, we want to shoot threes. I don't know why we were shooting all these long twos. TJ Warren, you know, was dominant the last time we saw him. And I mean, I don't know, man. Victor Oladipo might be better. To be honest, I don't know. I have no idea what to think about the Pacers. They're just a destined first round out, man. I don't know what else to say.
Literally,
it doesn't matter what their over under is. Their over under is zero for playoff runs.
The Pacers are one of those teams, man, that they don't really have a superstar. It's just a bunch of like solid players.
Yeah.
And then like you have Sabonis, who's like a really good player. Jeremy Lamb, like they have good players, man. But it's like this team is like you get to the playoffs with them, and it's like, all right, see you later, guys. I'm looking at their team. Brogdon's one of the few NBA players that, like, this guy just does everything you need for a basketball team to win a game, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Just a really good 3-and-D guy, can handle the ball, does all those little things. But, man, you know what? If it translates to 45, man. You know, if they didn't sign Nate Bjorkgren as their head coach,
yeah.
Nah, I'm gonna take the under, man. I'm gonna take the under. I'm sorry, Nate. I'm picking under.
Listen, man, you had the over on five of the first six teams, so it makes sense you went under.
You guys are haters, but yeah.
No, I'm going to go under two. I'm going to say 38, 37 is probably the max out for this team. Who knows? Yeah. Victor Oladipo might be traded halfway through the season anyways, because, again, the man's literally out there telling people, yo.
Oladipo's gone, I think. Oladipo's
one of the guys. On your team?
This guy's gone, bro. Like, I think he's gone. There's no way you can keep a guy on your team after, like, a report like that comes out.
And we don't even know really how good he even is. Like, he had one good season.
Yep.
His three ball kind of fell off before he got injured. Then after injury, he's just been like, you know, he's recovering and he's clearly looked like a recovering player. Brogdon, again, he was good to start the season and then he got hurt and then numbers tailed off. He had clearly struggles with the greater usage. Is TJ Warren the bubble guy that you saw? I don't know. Maybe, maybe not. There's a lot of questions on this team. Again, is Oladipo going to be there all season? And I think the rest of the East has gotten better. Like, they have gotten to the point where they've gotten better to the point where, you know, Indiana just being, you know, consistent isn't going to get it done. I think some of the talent deficit's going to start to show. So I think they're going to be under.
The team's just not that good, man. I don't know what to say. The other thing is, like, even if some of these guys are like, okay, you know, Oladipo gets more touches or, like, Miles Turner breaks out or whatever, like, they're just going to be taking touches from players that are, like, roughly as good as them. So it's not going to actually move the needle.
Also, a lot more difficult for Nate to drop plays for Miles Turner and Malcolm Brogdon when he came from, like, Kyle Lowry and Pascal Siakam.
Yeah, yikes. Yeah, I'm going to go under on this, too. I'm sorry, Joel Wolfon, man. All right, the Atlanta Hawks, man. 36.5, that's, you know, pretty much 500 in a 72-game season. The Hawks made a lot of offseason moves, and I think that's why they moved out of the basement to sort of around 500. Let me just pull up Atlanta's moves because there are quite a number of them. So they signed Danilo Gallinari. They signed Rajon Rondo. They signed Chris Dunn. They added Solomon Hill. Okay, all right. And, of course, they got Bogdan Bogdanovic, which means, obviously, that Giannis is going to Atlanta next year. They also drafted Onyeka Okongwu, who I think a lot of people really liked. He was the guy that people were saying had Bam-like tendencies, probably because they're both Nigerian. I played the same position. You know how draft stocks are, bro.
You know how they are nowadays.
Yeah. They were calling Malachi Flynn Red Van Vliet. So, you know, like that's how they move with all of these. But I mean, to be honest, it's a lot of new pieces. And it seems like they're going for it. I'm not really sure about the identity of this team. I think obviously Trae Young is still the central piece of it, but he doesn't play any defense. They kind of added pieces around him. They got decent talent. Do you think they get to 500? I'm still skeptical on saying no, but I don't know where you guys are at with this.
I think still no. Here's my take. I think they're basically built like last year's Suns team were, where you have like this offensive superstar and then you put a couple of useful veterans around him. The only difference is I think the Suns might have been a better defensive team on paper. This team, again, Gallinari, is he going to stay healthy? Rondo, is he even a regular season player at this point?
Chris, I was going to say, why would you sign playoff Rondo if you're not going to the playoffs?
Exactly. Like, they might sneak into the playoffs, but I think they're going to be under just because the teams in the East are really freaking good, and the teams in the top of the West are also really freaking good, and they're not going to be able to beat up on the lower East teams as much. So I think the Hawks are – I think they're probably 33 to 35 win team rather than being over 36. But yeah, I'm going to say it. Because how much better are Trae Young's stats going to realistically get? Like, the man was already averaging over
36. Ideally, those numbers actually come down so that, like, they could actually run, like, more functional stuff outside of what he's doing. But, I mean, he just also doesn't play any defense. Like, he's legitimately the worst defender in the league. It doesn't really matter if you pair him with Rajon Rondo or Chris Dunn. Like, they're not guarding the man for him, so it's not going to
get
help.
A lot of those Wizards Rockets games this year for the Hawks, where it's going to be 160 points in regulation or some shit.
Yeah.
I think with the Hawks roster, you kind of look at them and you're like, okay, we know what we're probably going to get from Trae Young. We know what Gallinari is at this stage of his career. You probably know what you're getting from Bogdan. I think I don't want to say he's reached his ceiling, but like we've seen what Bogdan's been doing with the Kings the last few years. I think what it's going to come down to for them to take that leap that everyone's expecting them to take is a guy like DeAndre Hunter. Like, that's a guy that a lot of people forgot about.
Yeah.
He was a high pick last year. He was supposed to be like their defensive anchor, or like that's what they project him to be, like a defensive anchor for them. And then we'll see what guys like Okongwu can do, because I'm sure they're going to give him like rotational minutes, and they want him to be that guy that maybe that they can rely on if they get to the playoffs, like in a rotation at least. Obviously, I don't think he's going to play big minutes, but they need those type of guys to step up. Like Kevin Herter, like these type of guys need to step up. Right.
Cam
Reddish. Know what you're getting. Yeah, you know what you're getting from like Gallinari and stuff.
It's a weird team, man.
John Collins. Oh man, this is.
I don't know. They're a pretty young team, and you know
they're really young. And the thing is, like,
the season starts December 22nd. The new season of Call of Duty is December 10th. I don't know. I don't know how much is going to translate with you guys. So.
No, this is definitely a team that I would really want to play on 2K with, because I would feel like it'd be a cool lineup, because I'm like, all right, John Collins can dunk, Trae Young can do Trae Young things, Bogdan Bogdanovic, you know, at least playing NBA Live was pretty good. I don't know, but
This is such a 500 ass team, man. Like, to be honest, I'm looking at this team. I'm like, I just see like, what is there, 72 games? I just see 36 and 36. Like, I literally see them as a 36 and 36 team getting into the playoffs, maybe giving, like, a high seed, like, taking them to, like, they're losing five or whatever. But
well, if they play the Bucks, they'll go seven.
Oh, definitely, yeah. Bro. Yeah. Mike Boonholz is going to be dropping Brook Lopez back on Trae Young. I can't wait.
I can't wait for that. I'm gonna say over.
It would be hilarious. All right. How hilarious would it be if Bogdan Bogdanovic ends the Bucks' dreams in the first round of the playoffs?
Oh, yeah. I'm actually, you know what? I'm all in. I'm all in on the Hawks.
All in on the Hawks.
Yeah.
I'm gonna say over, barely. Like, I think I'm thinking, like, if it's not 36 and 36, it's gonna be like 37 and 35.
Okay.
But with that being said, I will not be surprised whatsoever if they fall under and become like a 33-34 win team. Mm. They're going to be fun to watch, man. Trae Young, John Collins, Gallinari, Bogdanovic. Rondo is not a regular season guy. And I got a lot of flack, man, for this Rondo stuff, for how he played in the playoffs. Like, I was slandering the hell out of him during the regular season, only from, like, my entire circle of friends to just, like, oh, remember what you were saying about Rondo? Take that back. Oh. So it's like, we'll see, man.
Yeah.
I'm thinking the over, barely.
I think they trade Rondo at the trade deadline. That's a nice contract to move, and I think a lot of teams will be looking to add Rondo. But I don't know. Atlanta also has like a pretty. It seems like they want to win, so maybe they don't move him. But it's I'm going under. I just don't think they play defense. All right, Orlando Magic 32.5. Can we all just say under and move on?
Yeah.
this team is so over. Boring, man. I mean,
do they
like
have a point guard. Oh, then Marco Fultz. Yeah, under.
Marco
Fultz.
Under. Bro. They got to bring you back, man. They got to put some respect on the assist leader for the season, 3.9.
I still don't understand what they were thinking, but Shelvin Mack's the man. Or I am the man, sorry, I should say.
Yeah. Salute. They're just such a boring team. Isaac's out for the whole year now because the season started earlier.
Oh, like, yeah, 100%.
Nah, man, this team sucks.
Why is Vucevic so comfortable there? Like, get out of that situation, bro.
He like, paid him like $100 million.
He doesn't care, man.
And he's not getting taxed. I see that. But, like,
yeah,
there comes the time in your career where you're like, okay, like, money's one thing, but, like, I'm trying to win now.
Bro, he tried it, and then he had to play Marc Gasol in the first round of the playoffs, and he realized, yo, give me every dollar I can, because I'm literally one bad Marc Gasol matchup away from losing an NBA contract.
Yeah. That guy still torments him.
All right, this is my favorite team in the East to watch this year. My guilty pleasure. The Washington Wizards at 29.5 games. That's a 33.5 win season. Honestly, I'm going over for them. They won 25 games last year. They were horrendous in the bubble, obviously, because they didn't bring Bradley Beal because he just said, I'm good. Love and joy. And Davis Bertans was like, you're about to pay me $80 million. I'm not risking an injury. I'm a premium Matt Bonner, and you guys are paying me $80 million. But no, I mean, this team is fun. John Wall's coming back. I like John Wall, and I'm excited to see him back with this team. I like Rui Hachimura. I like, honestly, Bertans is pretty decent. I was just kidding about the Bonner thing. I like them as the over, man. This is a fun team for me to watch. And I think they might make some noise in the playoffs in terms of scaring the Bucks in the 1-8 matchup.
Yeah, I'm a fan of Bradley Beal, of Shabazz Napier's forehead, of Ian Mahinemi's NBA agent.
Bro, how is he still there?
I don't understand how he's got that contract and what Ernie Grunfeld or whoever the hell was running that team got him. What was that, 4 years, 62 or something
around
that?
Yeah.
I don't know how he got that contract. But, Bradley Beal's one of my favorite players in the league. That guy will just do every – like, the fact that he led that team without John Wall to 25 wins, that team was absolute trash. Like this was a really bad basketball team. It's not that I really think John Wall's going to come back and be, like, the saving grace there. Mm-hmm. Speaking of John Wall, I think it's hilarious the fact that this guy requested a trade. And he didn't realize that, like, bro, you're getting paid $40 million. Like bro, over and over again, like no one's taking that contract, bro. But I think John Wall just thought he had the type of pull to just be like, okay, I'm requesting a trade, and then the next day it's gonna get done. No, John, no one's paying you that money except Washington. But yeah, I'm gonna say over. I think Rui Hachimura gets a lot better.
Yep.
I'm a big guy in just turning on YouTube and just watching these open runs. We mentioned it with Peyton Pritchard.
Bro, can we watch the same one? The one with Hachimura versus Norm Powell? Norm didn't look that great. I'm not going to lie to you, but whatever. Yeah. We know what Norm would do.
Hachimura, I'm just a massive fan of his game. Thomas Bryant is what he is. I'm looking at the roster right now. Apparently, they signed Robin Lopez. Did not even know that happened.
That's not bad. Yeah. That's not bad. I don't mind Robin. Because they do need someone to play defense. And Robin can at least be big around the basket, collect rebounds,
fight people. You need some sort of rim protection. I think that's what they thought they were getting in Miami. I'm like the rest of the team. Isaac Bonga, I don't even know who that is.
Yo, bro, look up Isaac Bonga. Look up his face, man. This guy looks so old in the face for a guy who's 20 years old. I don't even want to get into all that. I'm just saying, like, just look up his face. He literally looks like he's 40.
This guy looks like what Tim Thomas should look like right now.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
This guy. Oh, he's German. Oh, wow. Okay. Hey, you got a German. No, but I'm going to take the over. I think Bradley Beal has another All-NBA season. But again, guys, like this is one of those teams that's in flux in terms of what their roster is going to look like. Like, you don't know if Bradley Beal's going to leave. You don't know if John Wall's just going to be like, hey, I've had enough. Like, you have to trade me.
That's what I'm saying. Him asking for a trade from Washington is like if you went to Olive Garden and asked for bread. Like, yo, they're trying to give you that already. All right.
Yeah.
Like, you didn't need to ask.
You literally did not have to ask. I'm going to say over slightly. Yeah, I'm going to say over.
I'm going to say they're under 500 regardless. I think if they trade John Wall for Russell Westbrook, maybe they get to 500. If that John Wall deal doesn't happen and they hold on to him all season, I think they're going to be at 29 or 30 wins. That's it. So they'll be right on it, if not under. Again, I just don't believe in that team, regardless of who they have. Yeah, they have Robin Lopez. Awesome. They have Bradley Beal. Awesome. Like John Wall, if he's upset about being there and if they're on that type of an under 500, just under 500 win pace, those guys aren't going to be happy with that. They're going to be losing a ton of games to good teams. They're going to be sick of it. I could see trade requests becoming more of an issue. It's not like that team's been known for team chemistry anyways. Who's their coach again, by the way?
I think it's still Scott Brooks, isn't it?
No, Scott Brooks left,
I think. It's not Scott Brooks. Who the hell is their coach? Isn't their coach the OKC guy or is he in Chicago? He's in Chicago. Who the hell is the Wizards coach?
Are you sure it's not? All right, hold on.
Wizard head coach.
No, it's still Scott Brooks.
It's still Scott Brooks.
I told you. No, Scott Brooks is a lifer, bro. Scott Brooks is Mike Boonholzer without the resume.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Hey, Matt, honestly, I don't – this team's not worth talking this much about. They're going to win 30 games. That's about it. So
you're going over then. That's technically over.
No, I'm going under. Make it 28. I'm just going to be me. All right. 28. Yo, under.
Shout out to Hassan, bro. Yo, you've had under for only – you've had under for all but three teams so far, bro.
You literally think the seventh seed in the East is going to have, like, five wins. What is going on, bro?
All right. Moving on. The Chicago Bulls, 29.5, the same as the Wizards. God. Man, this team is just so boring to me, man. They don't really make moves. Like, also, we've already seen Otto Porter is probably going to get the whole team COVID at some point, so they might have that situation where – what happened in football over the weekend where, like, the Broncos play with no quarterbacks? Like,
yeah, literally. All three quarterbacks out.
Yeah, so, like, this is the – Otto Porter is going to bring the plague, essentially, to this team. I mean, honestly, like, they drafted Patrick Williams. He sells flowers for his mom. That's really sweet. But, like, they did not – I mean, Garrett Temple was their biggest offseason addition aside from that.
Yeah.
Like, bro, I don't know. This is just a team that doesn't go anywhere. They change coaches. Cool. I don't really think of Billy Donovan as, like, an elite coach. I guess I'll go under, man. This team sucks.
Yeah, man, they just didn't. They didn't do enough to, like, move the needle. Their needle.
They didn't do anything. They changed the front office, yeah. And the front office is like, all right, the team's good. Like,
yeah,
what's the point, man?
I mean, you know, to be fair, I've watched a lot of the guy they drafted, Patrick Williams.
Yeah.
Again, open runs. It is what it is. And then I watched a little bit of his college tape. I'm a fan of him, but, like, that's not enough, man. It's just really just not enough. Chris Dunn left. Chris Dunn is probably – like, Chris Dunn's Chris Dunn, but, like, he's really good at one thing, and that's playing defense.
Yep.
And that's probably something that the Bulls really lack, even with Chris Dunn. So, I guess addition by subtraction for leaving that crazy head coach. I don't even remember his name, that bald guy. That guy's nuts.
Jim Boylan, baby.
Yeah, Jim Boylan.
I'll just break convention. I'm going to say – let's say they're – if the Wizards are going to be under at 28, they'll be over at 30. They won 22 out of 65 games somehow last year. So add 7 games. You have Lauri Markkanen with a coach that doesn't hate him. You've got literally an entire team with a coach that doesn't actively hate them and loses them games on purpose. So, sure, let's buy into, you know, Coby White growth.
All right,
and so Thomas Satoransky being used professionally. I think they have the chance of being a 30-win team.
What a depressing statement. So what's your final thing? You're going over or under 29.5?
Man. Oh, God. Yo, I'm looking at their roster. I'm going to say under.
All right. Charlotte Hornets, who they just signed Gordon Hayward, but they're at 25. They drafted LaMelo Ball. They moved up in the lottery. They got LaMelo.
They'll be over. Just having Gordon, because they won 23 games out of 65 last season.
That's what I'm saying. This is disrespectful,
having a competent player in Gordon Hayward, like, as bad as he is, at least they have some competence out there, right? Like, Nick Batum literally could not shoot. Like, he didn't have an elbow.
Nick Batum is... Yo, that scammer? Like, he
just having Gordon Hayward. Like, this is, I was trying to think. I'm like, yo, I've got under on all these teams. Who the hell is picking up wins, right? Because I thought the top of the East is going to stay good. I think, like, the East in the middle kind of cannibalized themselves. I think they had them a little too high. But I'm like, at the bottom of the East, I'm like, are all these going to be under? But yeah, the Hornets are the only team I think at the bottom of the East that are going to be over in my books on their win projection, because 25 wins is low. The Hornets actually probably have just as much of a shot at 30 wins as the Wizards and the Bulls do. Like, you cannot tell me that Hornets are worse than the Wizards and the Bulls.
I actually think they're better than both those teams.
They have the best I think Beal's probably the best player on all three of those teams. The second best player is probably Gordon Hayward amongst those three teams, which is really sad to say.
Yeah,
I'm looking like
tell me I'm wrong. That's a depressing statement, but it's
not. No, John Wall coming off the Achilles, like, after the Achilles thing, like, yeah, no,
bro.
I think
I don't need somebody who DeLon Wright blocked up, bro, coming off the Achilles.
Lord, yeah, I'm gonna say over. This is for me a pretty easy over, just because I think their guard rotation is actually not bad. Devontae Graham, LaMelo Ball, and it's not terrible, man. Like, I was looking at the Bulls roster, and it's like, what the hell's there?
I like the way they play too, actually. They're actually fun to watch. Like, they move the ball, they play fast.
I think their head coach isn't actually that bad. Is he still Clifford?
No, it's James Borrego.
So I'm way off, because I think he's been coaching them for quite some time now. I'm gonna say over.
I'm gonna switch up. I'm gonna say Wizards under, Bulls under, both of them at 28 wins. I'm gonna say Hornets are gonna be the over. So I think Atlanta, Orlando are gonna be fighting for the 8th seed, and then the Hornets are gonna be the team that's like 2 or 3 games behind them. They're just gonna miss out. They're gonna get into the play-in, I think.
I mean, I think they want to get to the play-in too. I think honestly, a lot of what this thing has to do, especially lower in the conference, is to, like, what are your intentions that season? Do you want to tank? to me, the Bulls kind of want to tank, in my opinion. So I think the Hornets want to move up. I'm over on them as well. Not by too much, but the number is just so low. I think they could do it. The Pistons, 23.5 for Mr. Dwayne Casey's Pistons. That poor, poor man is out there coaching five centers at a time. That's not a lot of wins. Okay. Can we just say this right off the bat? The Detroit Pistons, worst offense in the NBA?
100%.
Like, I'm actually struggling to think of other teams that might be lower than them.
Who is on their team, bro? It's just Blake Griffin. Like, is Blake Griffin healthy? Guys, even Blake Griffin's healthy. No, they're not doing jack, bro.
Guys, do me a favor and search Detroit Pistons roster. You guys remember that Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 map, Wasteland? It's bad, bro. This is really bad.
Okay, hold on. This could be a fun little game that we play here. Goodness. So Blake Griffin is the best player on their team, even while he's injured. Who is their second best player, looking at their roster? Grant. Oh, my God, Jeremy Grant. Yo.
Honestly, man. I mean, okay, so they still have Derrick Rose. I feel like they're moving him. Their Pistons are clearly tanking. Yo, is DeLon Wright their second best player?
It's either him or Jeremy Grant, right?
I like DeLon, man. Give me DeLon. Give me DeLon, a.k.a.
Like, I know Dwayne Casey gets the best out of his players, but bro.
Bro, the best.
You've seen the Zan and Musa mixtape, man.
Yo, the real over-under here, because I think we're all going under. I think this is a team that's tanking, and they just don't fit together at all. Over-under, how many of the Pistons players are Dwayne Casey going to compare to Pascal Siakam this season?
Oh, man. We're about to have a field day with that.
Bro, How many big men they got?
Yo,
Grant out the gate.
Definitely. Mason Plumlee, that's definitely a rookie Pascal Siakam. Sadiq Bey.
Jahlil Okafor can shoot. Like, honestly, I trust his shot more than Pascal. I think he's basically there. Like, Chris Boucher does not rank with any of these guys in Dwayne Casey's eyes.
So wait, guys, their starting lineup, Derrick Rose, I think DeLon Wright's starting, man.
Oh, 100%.
He has to.
I'm assuming they're going to put Grant at the three, unless you want Blake to play the five.
Bro, why is Grant playing three?
What is this team?
Grant at the three, Blake at the four, and then their five is what? Jahlil Okafor or John Henson?
Bro, Oh, God.
Or Deadman.
Jesus. Or, well, no, they played Mason Plumlee.
Isn't Deadman already gone? It's probably Plumlee.
Oh, yeah, they got Mason Plumlee.
Good God,
they're going to have to kick the ball into the basket, man.
Literally
pounding the rock into the basket.
No, for real. Like, if it's not a dunk, they're not scoring. Like, Blake Griffin's going to shoot 10 threes a game.
This is really bad, man. This is really, really bad. Like, I'm sorry, Dwayne Casey, you're going to have to deal with this season, but...
Bro, it's not fair, but, you know...
That's horrendous.
It's life, man. Yeah, it's looking tough for the Pistons. We're going to go all under on this just on principle. The New York Knicks at 22.5 and the Cleveland Cavaliers at 22.5. Does anyone have over for either of these two teams?
Yo, man, the Knicks, you got to believe in them, all right?
What?
Their division is what? It's the Celtics. It's the Raptors. Mm. It's the Sixers.
Yep.
It's the Nets. They could get some wins there. I think they pick up one win in their division for the entire season.
Ooh, I like that over-under.
Over-under 1.5 wins for the Knicks in their division.
I feel like that's
the real one.
That. Damn. I'm okay. So with the Knicks. It's funny. The last thing I saw that was Knicks related was RJ Barrett saying he was disrespected last year.
Bro, come on, man. RJ, please.
Wasn't named for the whatever. Who's their coach?
Tom Thibodeau.
Yeah. What's the over under? Is it five? I'm taking the under. Nah, this is bad, bro. Tom Thibodeau to kill RJ.
Yo, Tom Thibodeau was desperate for a job, man. Because this is who they brought in this year. Obi Toppin, who I maintain looks a little bit like Assad. Emmanuel Quickly at the 25th pick. They traded for Amari Spellman. They got Jacob Evans. Okay. Then they signed Alec Burks, Nerlens Noel, Austin Rivers, Michael Kidd-Gilchrist. Like, yo, honestly, this is like when you have a fantasy team and like you lose like six players to injury and you're just like complete trash. and you have to pick up six players from the IR. Like, this is six players from the IR, man. Alec Burks, yeah. Noel, Rivers, Gilchrist. Like, bro, this is terrible. They just have no talent.
The Knicks are going to be worse than the Cavs. I think really the question is, who's going to be the worst team in the league? Is it going to be the Knicks or the Cavs? I think it's the Knicks.
Yeah. No, I think the Knicks are probably – you know what? Actually, I take back what I said about the Pistons, man. I think the Knicks are going to be worse offense than the Pistons.
No, man. Thibodeau's garbage. No. The Pistons still – the Pistons just do not have anybody, man.
The Knicks have Miles Powell from
the Knicks could – the Knicks can accidentally get offense, man. Like, because they'll just, like
– well, they play in New York too, so, like, maybe people come through, they enjoy themselves too much.
Yeah.
Maybe. Why is Kevin Knox still in the NBA?
Yeah, looks like KD, man. That's it.
He looks like a Lego figure.
The hell.
But yeah, Cleveland. I think Cleveland gets a better record than them, but they're still going to be under. Because Cleveland, at least they have guards that can dribble, even if they don't pass the ball.
Well, I mean, they got New York's best guard from last season, Damian Dotson, at free agency.
Yeah, but you got Sexton, who isn't like he's horrible, but he's not horrible. Like, is he at least a? He's at least can lead you to, like, you know, a win every four games. Same with Garland. I think both of them are just, like, you know, they're below average guards, but they can get you a good offensive game every so-and-so. And then you have Andre Drummond, I think, is a good pairing for those guards. Andre Drummond has consistently led teams to 36-46 records his entire career. So I think that he can get the Cavs to 20 wins this season.
All right. So you have over on Cleveland. I'm just going under on both of them, just on
personal. No, I'm under. I'm just think they're over against the Knicks. I think the Knicks are going to be the worst team out too.
All right. Does anyone have an over for either of these two teams?
No.
You know what? I'm going to give the Cavs an over just for fun, man. But
they have Kevin Love. Okay, you know what? I'll go over on the Cavs too. They had 19 wins last year and they didn't play in the bubble, so I think they can get to 24 with Love and Drummond. At least they have players that can score.
Larry Nance, Isaac Okoro, Kevin Porter. Kevin Porter's good.
I like Kevin Porter.
The last few rosters I looked at, I'm liking the Cavs. Like, just realistically, I guess, more. But
yeah,
this is disgusting, bro, what I'm seeing. All due respect.
It's pretty bad, man.
Yeah, I'm going to take the over. I'm going to take the over only because of how bad the rosters were before what I just saw. So I'm just going to take the over.
All right.
Yeah. This is terrible, though, bro.
Yo, the bottom of the East is still as bad as ever, man. Pistons, Knicks, Cavs, like all three of those teams are just like unbelievably bad to watch. They all have so many centers. I just don't get it, man.
Oh, they got JaVale McGee. Yo, see, this is the thing with the Cavs. Their bench is going to have fun. Like, they're going to lose, but, like, they're going to be doing some wild stuff on the bench. Like, they'll be down, like, 35 to the Raptors, and then, like, something will happen with their bench. You'll see them all laughing. Like, I like the vibes on that team. But other than that, this is not a good basketball team. I will say, with all that being said, I'm going to take the over. But that's literally because I don't even have an answer for you. I'm just going to take the over just for the sake of taking the over. Just because I like the vibes of this team.
All right. Wow. All right. So to recap, the Cavs are actually one of the very few teams that we have over collectively on the three of us. The Cavs, I'd say over for the Cavs too. I think the best thing for the Cavs is that despite being a young team that might maybe act irresponsibly, they play in Cleveland, so there's nothing to do. So they're probably just going to be at home playing, you know, 2K or Warzone or whatever. And like they're going to be staying at home, so no COVID for them. But yeah, so Cavs, we had all over four. We had all over for the Raptors. Obviously, that was disrespectful. That's not even a homer thing. That's just disrespect. The Heat, we had all over, although slightly for the two of me and Asad. And then for the Bucks, we had all over. All under teams, we had. What the Pacers all under, we had the Magic all under, we had the Bulls all under for no real reason other than we just don't like these teams. The Pistons all under and the Knicks all under. So it's shaping up to be a. I mean, I don't know. Raptors probably. Well, maybe we'll end here. Raptors seed. over under 3.5.
Oh, Asad, you go first.
I mean, it sounds like we're taking over, man, because
3.5 is tough. I think it's over because I have them again. It's going to be two through four. It's going to be 2 through 4 is going to be Raptors, Celtics, Sixers, Heat. And one of them, and it's going to, one of them is going to be the Raptors for sure. And then it's two of those other three teams. I think Raptors are a 2 to 4 range team. I think the Celtics are a two to five. I think the rest are 2 to 5 range teams because they have, they drop off a little harder than I think in my mind, but yeah, I say fuck it, over.
Yeah, it's a mishmash, man. Like Asad said, like Celtics, Sixers, Raptors. I'm gonna say they get the fourth seed, so I'm gonna say under.
All right.
Yeah, I think the Bucks, Celtics, and Sixers finish above them. Yeah, man.
You know what? I'm going to say over. I think the Bucks are for sure above them. And then every other team, at least regular season-wise, I'm not certain that they will be ahead of the Raptors. So, I mean, you know, we're looking at the Celtics, Nets, Heat, Sixers, Raptors in that group. If you would average it out, essentially the Raptors would be essentially the 3.5 seed. Honestly, if the Raptors get to play in the Southeast Division for the upcoming season because they're in Tampa, then I think, yeah, they get it for sure. Because that division is going to make such a big difference between whether you're playing a ton against the Atlantic with obviously a loaded conference or against the Southeast. But, yeah, I mean, look, this is Raptors over everything, bro. It's in the title of the podcast. So I'm going to take the over on the Raptors. So that's the tie-in there. All right. Sahal, Asad, appreciate y'all for coming on the pod. Anything you guys want to plug, anything you guys got going on? Actually, one thing I want to plug, I don't know if it's still going on, but Raptors Twitter is putting on a food donation
drive.
It's by our friend Sidra, who what's her Twitter handle?
At Kashmiri Chai.
So
you can search her up. I think she's almost at $7,000 now.
That's
incredible. She's looking to add a shelter to also add to the two or three food banks that she already had. So if you go in there, donate. Also, if you donate more than $20 and send me proof of receipt, you'll see on my page. I'll share it into my fleets again. And I'll bump the tweet again. But basically, if you respond to that tweet with proof that you donated more than $20, I am raffling off a signed Danny Green basketball.
Oh, man. The three of us were there when you got that thing, too, man.
Yeah. I was going to do it till Wednesday, but I think I'll do it till Friday just so we can get more donations in. Make the cutoff like Friday at like 8 or 10 or something like that. But if you get that in, I'll raffle that off. We've gotten, I think, a fair number of submissions already. But as long as you're, let's just say like, yeah.
I'll drop details in the description of the podcast too, so you can find this link easier. But
it's
the GTA. $20
or more, man. Hit up Asad.
Listen, do it. Any green
sign basketball, man. That's big.
And in terms of plugging other stuff, my podcast, the Pick and Roll with the Show, live to a NBA Twitter show, happens Wednesdays at 8 p.m. So we have an episode tomorrow at 8. Basically, we debate 5 different topics. The only catch is we don't know what side of the topic we're debating beforehand, so we got to do it live. And then the people that are in the live chat get to vote, and then we have voting afterwards. So it's fun. It's kind of improv. It's a good time to just join in and be part of the Raptors Twitter community. So feel free. I think last time Will was on, we argued whether Coffee Crisp or Kit Kat was better. So
it was off season, bro. There's more topics to go off now. So, but where do we land? Team Kit Kat.
Yeah.
We had to go Team Kit Kat. I'm personally a Coffee Crisp guy, but hey, I'm also fat, so I'll take whatever chocolate I can get.
Bro, come on. Come on now.
Yo, what? Yo, what are you saying? This wasn't even on
purpose. This was like literally, we did not even talk about this,
what's wrong with you?
Come on, man.
So I'll just stacking Kit Kats on the video.
And right I don't now. Even, I'm not even sponsored by them, but like, here yeah,
this,
I am.
This just proves that you weren't eating the Kit Kats, man. you might be secretly the Coffee Crisp guy. I don't know.
He's got a bunch of Coffee Crisp wrappers under his chair right now.
I'm not a Coffee Crisp guy. In terms of things to plug, I am going to be more active on Raptors Republic. The season obviously is starting soon. So I'm going to be doing my usual stuff. I want to do a lot more feature articles this year. something that I didn't get to do a lot of last year. Just was very busy with things last year, so I'm going to do a lot more of that. And then obviously the usual stuff on Raptors Republic, the game day previews, the reviews, the little player profiles we do. So I'm excited for this year. Hopefully we can start that little Yahoo group chat thing back up. We'll see how that goes.
It's coming, man. It's coming. Don't worry.
Yeah, so hopefully we can start that back up, get some nice NBA discussion in. But yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited for the season, things to start. And yeah, I don't know why Asad hasn't invited me on his podcast, but I'm just not gonna... Yo, Asad, anyways, yeah, I think my connection's...
Oh, wow. You muted yourself. Right? Wow, damn.
Yeah. Now, we're going to have Sahal on. We're going to have a lot of different Raptors people on. Honestly, we've just been kind of lazy with it, trying to reach out to people in time. But who knows? Maybe we'll have more guests on. We're trying to work out the tech since we do it live. But we're definitely going to have a lot of your Raptors Twitter favorites on soon and regularly, hopefully, every Wednesday. So do drop by and hopefully get, you know, a nice little palette of what Raptors Twitter has to offer.
All right. There you go. So – follow through on all those recommendations for sure, man. Also, I just wanted to send a quick shout out to Big V, obviously on the podcast all the time.
Yes,
new role at CBC, doing big things, and on some more things TBD. I got the scoop on the inside scoop that even more big things are coming for Big V. So I'm really proud of the boy. I mean, he's not even a boy; he's like older than all three of us. But low key, he looks real young. No, I guess no, but seriously, man, proud of Vivek. All the stuff that he's done. So, yeah, man, things are looking good. The season's coming up. Be plenty of coverage. Thanks to Asad and Sahal for coming on, as always. And, yeah, let's look forward to the season.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.